Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to this episode of Almost Nerdy. We are definitely taking on a very different tone with everything that's happened with Chadwick passing away. Such a sad time. It's unbelievable. I could not believe it.
That it's hard not to be like, dang you, 2020.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, like, I did that. I was like, you know, screw you, 2020.
Yeah. We're done with you.
Right. For real. Like, last month was rough. Rough, I think. Passing was it last month? Yeah. John Lewis as well. Like, so all these iconic names have moved on. And I don't know. Like, I just felt so overcome by grief in that moment when I heard about Chadwick. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. And then also Kobe at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Just so much Black Death.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Iconic. It's like very iconic people who are in these like leadership roles, you know, leadership positions.
Yeah. These people that you look up to, people that, you know, you expect with everything that's going on. I feel like we're in a new race, almost like we've always been like in a race war, so to speak, in terms of the like systems of government declaring war on Black people, you know, and John Lewis and I mean Chadwick really led the way when it comes to superheroes, when it comes to Hollywood. He was leading the way and opening up doors to like something amazing for people of color, for Black people. And it's just sad that we're entering into this like heightened moment now where, you know, things are getting pretty intense. There's a lot of good things happening, a lot of people's eyes that are opening up and people are opening up to the conversation on race. But there's also a lot of pushback, a lot of, you can tell things are about to get heated with the election coming up. And it's just hard to have these personalities go away when they're the very people that you kind of looked up to. You're like, oh my gosh, we got Jonathan Lewis, we got, you know, we got Black Panther, we're doing this, you know? And then now they're gone and you can't help but just feel a little like having the life sucked out of you, you know?
Yeah. So we are closing our Black Stories series now. And we originally had this episode kind of structured differently and we changed it up because we felt like we had to pay tribute to Chadwick Boseman. Like, you just can't. Like, we can't end this topic and not talk about it.
Yeah.
So we're just going to pay tribute to him. We had considered Black Panther as part of our kind of like thesis for Black Stories as we've been going through these movies. But we've done Black Panther twice because we hecking love that movie.
We love it
it's
so much.
It's just so much.
Yeah,
so
we love it so much.
We felt like, you know what, let's focus on some other movies that we haven't brought to light first. But this actually gives us the opportunity to talk about the movie a little bit as we're closing down this conversation.
Yeah.
Obviously, race is something that's very near and dear to our heart, something that we're very passionate about. So we will definitely be talking about other forms of race, racism, things like that in other movies. Yeah. We will come back to this topic again, but it won't look like this necessarily as we move through Almost Nerdy.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we dive in, we're going to take a short break. Okay, welcome back. So let's dive in.
Yeah, so I wanted to start with a tweet by Simu Liu, who's going to be playing Shang-Chi in the upcoming Marvel movies. So hopefully in 2021. We don't know at this point.
Yeah.
So he tweeted after finding out that Chadwick had passed away. Yeah. I want to make this crystal clear. Without Chadwick and what he gave to his character, there would be no Shang-Chi. Period. My career rides on the coattails of a great man. Wow. I wish I had the opportunity to tell him in person, but I'll fight for him always, my eternal king. Oh. So I think what I've kind of been reading from everybody's response to finding out that he passed away is, A, everybody thinks he was, like, hella strong. Like, he literally was battling cancer while doing action, like action movies.
Yeah.
And not just that, but he also, during the time, played Thurgood Marshall mm-hmm. who's one of our favorite people because mm. he started the NAACP Legal yeah. Defense Fund, mm-hmm. which is, if you're going to donate to a cause, Shalom and I are huge proponents of that. Like,
absolutely.
Definitely, absolutely. If you're looking for an organization to donate mm. to, like...
They're solid.
Solid.
Yeah.
We love the work they do. Mm. So you played them. He also played Jackie Robinson. This was before. He played Jackie Robinson, another mm. iconic yeah. figure yeah. in American history.
Yeah.
And he also did that other action movie. Was it like Five
something?
Bridges?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So he did all of these while he was very sick. Mm. The other thing is just a lot of people are saying, you know, he had a cultural impact. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is mm-hmm. something. It's. I feel like sometimes these superhero movies mm. kind of get put in this like, oh, that's pop culture. That's pop culture.
Right.
But
right.
I think it's important to note that like it's more than pop culture sometimes.
It's way more than pop culture. Yeah.
And I think Black Panther was clearly more mm-hmm. than just pop culture.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of parents were like, how do we tell our kids? Mm-hmm. How do we tell our kids? And because they looked up to Black Panther, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, how do you even do that? How do you, mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard. Like, I'm like, that's some, like, is it Stephen Rogers type of stuff where you're just like, oh, this is too deep. This is way too deep. Like,
you're talking about Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, like,
Mr. Rogers would have to come out and talk about yeah. the death of Black Panther.
Did you say Steve Rogers?
You said Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers.
Kind of the same person,
really. You know, Mr. Rogers type of stuff where, you know, just discussing hard subjects mm-hmm. like death, you know, mm-hmm. and so... Yeah, definitely such an inspiration, giving himself. And there's one interview that he had where they asked him, if you were to have one superpower, what would it be? And he said he would freeze time and do all the things that he wants to do mm-hmm. and then come back and then move forward. And mm-hmm. and looking back, you're like, ugh. It's kind of, it's beautiful, but it's haunting. It's,
yeah.
There's so many emotions around that... It's life. It's hard. It's difficult, but it's also sweet. It's also inspirational, mm-hmm. and I think that's something that we're all experiencing corporately whilst we're dealing with COVID-19 and mm-hmm. a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah,
it's something that this is something that definitely is gut-wrenching. It's painful, but at the same time. Just the person he was, mm-hmm. he has managed to cut through all that pain and mm-hmm. still deliver inspiration.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think some of the other things that I found very beautiful was even the way that he viewed the Black Panther movie. Like, I remember he was on an interview with The Daily Show, Trevor Noah. And he told Trevor that he didn't really see Killmonger as a villain. Like, he actually saw right. this, like... Both of them, both Black Panther, like, and Ryan. Killmonger were both heroes in a sense. Mm-hmm. Even though they were doing things in a very different way, they had mm-hmm. heroic visions. Like, mm-hmm. both of them had heroic visions. Mm-hmm. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was super deep. Just,
right.
like, the way that he saw that situation. And I think that also brings a lot to light mm. in just the writing and directing of the movie Black Panther.
Right.
And I think that it does... I'm sorry, but I just don't think a white person could have written that.
Yeah.
In that way. And, mm. like, we talked about this a lot through this mm. series, is, like, the nuances of knowing your culture. Right. Knowing the culture, knowing the people, right. knowing the different personalities. And there's a way that you mm. can present mm. people where it's like, I'm not going to lie, like in the podcast where we have talked about Black Panther, it's like you sit there and you're like, I don't know who I agree with. Like, mm. I mean, I agree with T'Challa because I'm a more peaceful person and I believe in building bridges. But it's like I also get the rage of Killmonger. Mm-hmm. Like, I mm-hmm. understand that. And it's mm-hmm. like, if mm-hmm. you're not a Black American, like, you're not going to get that. And it's like, yes, I can yeah. be a white ally and I yeah. can sympathize with it, yeah. but I can never actually empathize with it.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Like, I I think that that is also that, like a hard place to be as like, I shouldn't say hard place. I think it's like a place you have of understanding that you have to come to as a white ally is like, you're never going to have that empathy and you need to step aside and give the space
to the person who can tell the story better. To these people who can
tell the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's so true. Like I so I've been, you don't know this, but I've been working on, I've been writing notes for like, I don't know, a book maybe.
I know. I've been suspecting.
Shalom's
like
I'm
he's blushing right now.
I'm not a book. I'm not like, I, like I've never thought of myself as a writer of a book. Uh-huh. And I've never thought of that. I've never thought that I've have a perspective that is, I don't know, like that's worth reading about. I was like, look, I'm just like a black boy from Africa who's like, you know, who's trying to figure out what's going on and help as much as I can. But I think one of the things that has amazed me is when I share about even like racism in Zimbabwe and what I've learned about racism in the States. I'm very new to the rage that's here. Like I'm used to the rage back home where, you know, the president is black, you know, he's a dictator, and I grew up under a dictator, black, and so race has never been a major factor for me. You know, it was more of one conversation after another. Like, you know, you talk to someone, to a white person, and they say something racist, and then you're like, it's not your country anyways. You know, like, I mean that was how we rolled, because like whenever someone who was like British tried to like talk down on us, we're like ah.
Because you won.
Yeah, like, because we won the war. It's like how America is with Britain. Like, I mean, same country as well.
Same country.
And we're like, yeah, you're not from, you're like, yeah, you came and took our land and we fought and we kicked you out. Yeah. and it's one of those things where I have a certain level of pride, a certain level of just ability to just look a white person in the face and just be like, yeah, you don't really scare me. Like, I don't really care. And when I moved here, I was kind of oblivious to the racial tensions, to the nuances. Here, racism is more all-encompassing. It's not just one experience. It's not just one person that you're dealing with. It's like you're swimming in it. It's like you're surrounded by it. And when I first came, I was completely oblivious of it. But when my eyes were opened, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm swimming in it. I'm surrounded by it. I'm in it. And so I'm new to black rage. And it's gotten the better for me a lot of times where I just feel hopeless, right? I feel hopeless. I'm just like, I really feel hopeless right now. And so that's something that has made me understand the rage that someone who has grown up in this system feels. And when I say understand, I mean gauge. Kind of gauge or have even a semblance of understanding, right? Or imagination to actually feel a bit like to empathize, right? And that's something that has changed my life. It changed my life to come to a place of that level of rage and understand that there are people who have literally grown up in this. That's all they know.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
Like Killmonger.
Like Killmonger. Can you imagine? And I mean, we can apply that to the protests and the stuff that's happening. And obviously, there's a lot of misrepresentation when it comes to how, you know, especially the looting is being represented. Like this, it's more complicated than people try and, or rather than what the president puts it out to be. It's they're playing a political game and it's messing up a lot of like perspectives. But okay, let's just say like people are just, that's all that's there. There's only violence, right? Which there's not. There's way more peace than violence. And considering what people are protesting about, right? And even if it was the case that people are just like enraged that someone got shot seven times in the back, and they say, hey, we're going to destroy a whole bunch of property. I get it. Yes, violence is never the answer it's near, like, and I know we say those words, we spit those words out and we're like, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, yeah, like, wait, like, watch someone, like, watch one of your people get shot in the back 7 times. Mm. Watch that happen and then...
Like, and no one be held accountable.
And no one be that's held accountable. That's whilst, the major whilst the part. Month before, watch if someone get arrested, George Floyd's, you know, murder, like, what, like, watch that happen where whatever reason they give, like, overdose, whatever, like, watch someone be treated so inhumanely to the point of death, right? Mm-hmm. Some one of your people, watch them treated like that. Watch a kid get shot for having a toy gun.
Yeah.
Watch a woman get murdered in her own house, sleeping, right? Yeah. And then see the system kind of turn a blind eye to that injustice. You like, and then imagine, go back in time. Like I've been just like reading up and learning and. Like it's shocking to me. It's shocking to me some of the language that you hear, even white people use. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that, like back in Nixonian days, like I didn't know like about the Nixonian political like language, like of like redlining and so forth. Like yeah. I didn't know about that, but like recently learned about that, and I'm like, wow, this goes way back. This is a long strategy that has been played that has oppressed people of color for a long time. Can you imagine the rage that they're feeling? Can you imagine? You can't even fathom the rage they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot empathize, but you rather like hold your events and be like, there's no such thing as racism, umbrage. You know, umbrage. like it's enraging. It's enraging, and I think that. I love just the fact that, you know, Chadwick Boseman picked up on that. Another cool fact is, so I was actually reading it up, but like there's a line that Killmonger says when they're like, well, we can save you when they fought and he's got the knife
in his chest. At the very end.
When he says, I'd rather jump off. I'd rather die right here and kind of follow in the path of my ancestors who jumped off the ships.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Chadwick Boseman who actually encouraged that line. I think.
Really?
Like they say he came up with the line or he encouraged that line or he's the one who kind of stirred it up.
Yeah.
Came up with the idea of something like that. And that's powerful for him, even as an actor who's playing the opposite role, to empathize with the, you know what I mean? Because you're in character at that moment. Mm-hmm. The fact that his mind was able to just like come up with a line like that or encourage a line like that is powerful. Yeah. It's very powerful to be like, hey, like, I get it. I get the rage. Because he's black. He's American.
Yeah.
So he gets the rage. Mm-hmm. He understands the rage. And that's just, I don't know. It's a powerful movie. Like I need time before watching it again. Like I need to get my emotions.
I was like, sorted. I don't think, I know a lot of, like, I know Disney did like a viewing of it probably, and they had like, I was like, I don't think I can handle that right now.
Yeah. I can't.
Too fresh.
Yeah. Way too fresh. I need some time. Mm-hmm. You just yeah so it's sad, it's heartbreaking, but man, you can't deny the inspiration.
And I think something else that's it's kind of hard to see, I would almost say, is like Hollywood actually like is very much a white space.
It is.
There are roles that you really only see white actors take. And I know you could try to argue, if you would like to, that there were other people of color within the MCU before Chadwick came on the scene, but not in the role that lead he was role. In. He was in the lead role. Mm. He was commanding the stage.
Right.
He was commanding the narrative. It was his narrative.
Yes.
So like, yeah, you've got, you know, Rhodey from Iron Man, and you've got Sam Falcon, but, like, they're sidekicks.
Right.
There's a difference between being a sidekick and essentially just being there for the diversity slash, like, that was true to the characters who they were.
Yeah.
But to be like the actual lead hero. It's like it's the same as like when we did Luke Cage last week. Like, right. It's different when it's Luke Cage playing Luke Cage, and he's not just that side character who was introduced in Jessica Jones.
Right.
Like, yeah, he got to do some cool fighting in Jessica Jones, but it's like when it's actually his story, his narrative, the story that's being told is very different. And I feel like, you know, this is a little bit off topic. It's not sci-fi fantasy, but like even with Crazy Rich Asians, like that was a huge deal because you don't often see romantic movies about people of Asian descent. Like,
it feels like all those movies feel like sci-fi because he's like, what is happening here?
You're like, what? Like, what? So I think what I'm excited for is just to see more people stepping into white spaces. And I think it's hard. Like, it's really hard. And like when it does happen, it's like people almost get upset because they're like, why is it always about slavery? Why is this always about race? And it's like, well, that's because that's what the narrative is. And I actually really liked, we were listening to the podcast that goes along with Lovecraft Country. If you're not watching Lovecraft Country, first of all, some people don't know what it is because they're like, they don't know that. So Lovecraftian horror is a type of horror that's a very like sci-fi kind of like focuses on the mystical monsters. So it's a very specific type of sci-fi. That being said, H.P. Lovecraft, super racist.
Yeah.
Super, super racist dude. Yeah. So the fact that Jordan Peele is part of this project to like take back that type of horror and put Black main characters and focus it on race is really them like taking back the narrative.
Honestly,
it's on HBO. It's so good. And that was something that I learned. Like, I didn't know, like, Shlom and I are not into horror. We don't really like it. We watch Get Out. We watch Us. We watch those because we need to support Jordan Peele. Like, honestly, Lovecraft Country is a little bit outside of our realm of what we would normally watch. Like, I probably wouldn't pick that normally. But you know what? It breaks every single norm of horror when it comes to people of color. Like, it breaks every norm. Like, every time you would see, like, you know, the Black dude dies first, like, that's all of happening. That. No, not happening here.
Yeah.
So I really do, like, and that's what happens when the writers in the room are Black. That's what happens when the executive producers are Black. Yes. Like, that's what happens is you don't get these throwaway characters.
Absolutely.
You get real, true stories that are dynamic. Absolutely. And I think that that is something really important. And I think it's like, it's kind of sad to talk about it, but it's like, I think that's what Black Panther did. Like, Black Panther was really that was new. Like, that was a new concept. Like, have a Black main character where the script was written, it was directed, it was produced. Even the studio. Tyler Perry Studio, like in Georgia, like even that, like the whole thing, it was like so important to show that, like, hey, this will sell and you have to do it right.
Yeah.
But you have to do it right.
Yeah. And I think part of it is like we have, you know, you manage our social media, our Instagram, and but I stumble on it once in a while. and I've noticed we have an increasing number of friends who are Black and who love cosplay, right? And part of it is like, yeah, and I've seen, maybe not on our platform, but on TikTok, people saying like, Vikings and this and all these debates, right? And as much as, for me, I'm like, guys, wear whatever you want. Like, do it. Like, Harry Potter, rock it up. Harry Potter, you have more Black people.
Yeah, they need more Black people.
If you want to be a hobbit, you know, and so I rock it out because I'm a Black hobbit and I do all the hobbit things.
You do. Right? That's so true. And Shlom is literally a hobbit.
Right. Like, and
yeah, these fantasy, you know, spaces.
But at the same time, it's cool that you're getting more and more characters who are Black, that Black people can also grab hold of and own. You know, it's beautiful when we have more and more of those options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, it's honestly the racism within even the like cosplay community is very like, and I find that so interesting because it is like such a creative community.
It is.
It's sad. We follow a couple people where they'll gender bend or like do white characters because it's like. Otherwise, it's like you can literally only be Princess Tiana. Like, that's your only princess. Right. Like, that's it. Like, that's it for you. You can't do Snow White. You can't do all these. But, well, that's what some people say. They say, like, you can't be Snow White. Mm. Like, there's literally whiter name. It's like, listen to yourself for a second and see how racist you're being.
Yeah. I'm taking all of those. If you took our land and took, like, our people, we're taking your characters.
We're taking your characters.
Deal with
it. It's ours now.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited to see. I am very proud of Disney. I think they are, even if it is for monetary gain, I think they're taking a lot of things very seriously.
Yeah. I mean, they've taken risks. Already you can see it's clearly a risk where they are fixing a lot of things. There's a whole conversation of late stage capitalism going that's probably the reason. At the same time, it's a risk. The risk, the fact that they're saying like, hey, let's be more real. Let's do it. Like this week, super excited for Mulan.
Yeah,
which is gonna be a legit. And I love my like Asian movies. Those movies are so good, so good. Like the fight scenes are better than most of the fight scenes you see in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Most of the fight scenes, and I'm just so excited just to see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they're doing it also, like, in different languages, like Asian languages. I really hope that they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just excited to see them honor cultures.
Yeah.
The way they're supposed to be honored. No funny nonsense. No Mushu nonsense. Right? Get rid of Mushu. Get him out. I don't care if people like him. If it's offensive, it's offensive. You're out. Right? It's like, nope. And I think that's something that I'm just super excited to just see Disney do more of that. And I really think that Black Panther is one of the characters that just gave them more confidence to say, oh my gosh. Like,
exactly. Like, well, that's what I'm saying. The confidence boost.
Oh my gosh. Like the way it was a cultural, watching Black Panther was a cultural event.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't like
the photos of people going to the theaters and the outfits that they wore and dancing.
Oh my gosh. It was like you could like the black joy, black pain, black wealth, black, it was blackness everywhere and it was beautiful. And I think that's something that, like, I will never forget that. Like I will never forget just how beautiful of a story, like, it is and how it impacted a lot of people and just gave people, like, especially, like, in the last few years, like, it's been rough. It's been hard. It's been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And just having something like that, just going, like, giving us something to imagine that's, like, beautiful, that's black, that's excellent, just was something that we all really needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good ending point for this. So thank you, Chadwick Boseman.
Thank you.
Yes. Made a huge impact on our lives.
Yeah. Massive.
On Hollywood, on I think the world. I think
absolutely
children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, huge impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really grateful for that and what he's done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we are going to be, as I said at the beginning of this episode, we're going to be moving on to a new theme. We're going to be doing Crisis.
Mm.
So we haven't quite locked down our movies because there's almost too much choice here. Because a lot of sci-fi fantasy is based around Crisis.
Right.
And like different types of things happening. Yeah. I know for sure we're definitely doing Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Yes.
It's one of our favorite movies based on Crisis.
Right, as in like the worst way to respond to a crisis.
Yeah, don't just ignore it. Like, that's a terrible idea. Right. So anyway, that's going to be our example of ignoring Crisis. So we're going to be starting with that. Well, I mean, first there's going to be the intro episode where we kind of just do an overview of why we feel like this is so super relevant to what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we'll introduce the other movies that we haven't quite nailed down yet, because we the list is like 10 movies deep, and we're like, no, we need to pair, like, it needs to be three. Yes. So we're working on that right now.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be great. So taking a week break, and then we're coming back strong with Crisis.
So awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you in a few weeks.